Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. It's October 7, 2014, and this is episode 441. Two days before I left for my 2014 Iceland tour, I picked up my shiny new iPhone 6 Plus and have used it for panos, videos and photo sharing etc. over the last 2 weeks. So this week I share my thoughts on the iPhone 6 Plus from 2 weeks in Iceland. This year's Iceland tour and workshop was absolutely amazing again. The group was incredibly talented and fun to travel with, and my experience was enhanced somewhat by the bigger and better iPhone 6 Plus that I took possession of the day it went on sale, just 2 days before I jumped on a plane here in Tokyo and headed across the globe to the wild and wonderful island of Iceland. I'll start my travelogue series next week and work through the tour with the images from each day and concentrate more on the photography aspect, but as I still need a few days to complete my final selection of images, I figured it would be a good chance to update you on the new iPhone. I'm not going to dig deep into specs and technical details as I would a normal camera, because that's not how I use my iPhone. But from a consumer perspective, here's what I found. First of all, one of the questions I received the most so far is why did I go for the larger screen iPhone 6 Plus? The first and foremost reason for this was so that I can view and show my images much larger and more beautifully with this larger screen. I also like to read on my iPhone, especially when traveling, and the new large 5.5-inch screen makes this much more comfortable. To put things into perspective, here's a photo of my old iPhone 5 with its 4-inch screen, which was a nice increase over the even older iPhone 4 at the time. But as other companies released smartphones with larger screens, Apple seemed to get left behind. The wait was worth it though, as in true Apple style, the new iPhone 6 is beautifully designed and now comes in two larger screen sizes, the 4.7-inch screen and the Plus that we can see on the left in the photo that I've got in the Enhanced podcast now and on the blog is the 5.5-inch screen. Don't forget that you can read along with the podcasts or you can check out the images. And today we have some images that you really need to see big to appreciate. So you can check all of that out at mbp.ac/441 for episode 441. To be totally honest, I was a little bit apprehensive when I ordered the larger screen iPhone 6 Plus, especially without actually holding one beforehand. But any of you that have listened to this podcast for a while will know that one of my mum's famous mottos was, if you're going to have one, have a big one, meaning a big one, of course. I've kind of lived that mantra most of my life in various interpretations, and it's always worked out good for me. This time, too, there was no reason to worry. I simply love the big screen, and the iPhone 6 Plus fits surprisingly comfortably in the front pocket of my jeans or a jacket pocket. I've heard of people bending theirs by putting them in their back pocket of the jeans, but I've never put my phone in the back pocket and I probably never will, just out of habit, so this isn't something that concerns me. As I said, one of the main reasons I wanted the larger screen was to show images bigger and better than was ever possible with the smaller iPhone screens. Don't get me wrong, when that is all I had, I was happy enough with it. People just tend to bring the phone closer to their face with smaller screens, but the iPhone 6 Plus just takes the image viewing experience to a whole new level. Before I left for Iceland, I double-checked that all of my portfolios were synced to the new iPhone in Lightroom Mobile, as I'd restored a backup of my old phone, and they were all there, no problem. I created a new collection called Iceland 2014 in Lightroom on my Mac and set it to sync with Lightroom Mobile. Then, as I shot new images that I liked during the tour, I just added them to this collection with the B key on the keyboard because I'd made it the target selection. Then, whenever I had Wi-Fi at a hotel, the collection would sync with my phone and the phone would then sync back, and so I could show my photos as I went along. Because I also set up Lightroom Mobile on my wife's phone before I left, she was also able to see my new photos as I made them because they automatically synced as I added images to the Iceland collection. I know that there are other ways to sync photos between computers, but this also enables me to browse photos and change ratings while traveling, and I can also check shooting settings from older photos that give advice, so that I can give advice to the group on focal lengths and things like that as we arrive at new locations. So Lightroom Mobile really works for me in this situation. One of the other reasons I went for the Plus over the standard iPhone 6 was the optical image stabilization for the camera in the Plus model. I don't really do much shooting with my iPhone, but I use it like many consumers probably do to capture memories, more like snapshots than the photos that I shoot with my digital SLR cameras. Actually, while I'm out with my iPhone and my DSLR, I tend to use the iPhone to shoot panoramas more than anything else. Here we can see a panorama that I shot with the iPhone 6 Plus up in the highlands of Iceland. This is straight out of the camera and I think pretty good for a camera phone. There are a couple of flare spots below the sun, but I'm shooting straight into the sun at that point. Sometimes as you pan across the scene to make this kind of image, if there are people in your shot or objects that are moving, the rolling shutter can cause them to become a little bit deformed. Like these people that I have in this next image, I've circled a couple of them in red, and you can see that as because they were moving as I made the panorama, one of them's got a bit of a pinhead, and Henry there on the right in the blue jacket, you know, he's a slim guy, but he's not quite that flat. So go to the, if you're listening on the Enhanced podcast, do go to the blog and click on the images. I've posted pretty big images for you to take a look at the detail here. Of course, these are saved as JPEGs and can be quite heavily compressed, causing digital artifacts and nasty blotchiness, as in this next photo. The water, I can understand a little bit more because it's moving, but the sky, which is pretty much stationary, is pretty nasty in this shot. So I would have hoped to have seen slightly less blotchiness up there. But hey, it's a camera phone, right? All in all, I'd say the camera probably outperformed my expectations. It saves standard photos at 8 megapixels and panoramas up to 43 megapixels, and that's a hefty size and could easily be printed very large if you got a shot that deserved to be printed. The other thing that I found myself doing a lot was shooting video, which is really pretty good with the new optical image stabilization, except for issues that occur when there's a lot of movement. To show you what I mean, I've, you know, both the good and bad, I've put together a quick video just of sample images from the iPhone 6 Plus, all shot from the Iceland tour. And what I would like you to do is to, if you, really you're going to have to go to the blog for this, but go to mbp.ac/441 and scroll down to the video, if you're not already there, of course. And there's a video screen in the middle of, embedded in the post. Go full screen so that you can see all of the detail and just watch the video. And towards the end, the last clip, you'll see a lot of pretty nasty distortion as the whole scene flows by the bus window as I videoed out of that. But just you're going to have to go and look at the video for this. I can't really embed this in the embedded part in the Enhanced podcast. I haven't really played with the slow-mo video yet, although that looks like fun. I did shoot some of the video at 60 frames per second, but turned that off when I didn't need it because I figured that that could be what's causing the video to shudder there, you know, like as I was shooting subjects with a lot of movement. So I turned that off halfway through. There are a few things that I've not been totally happy with, so I thought I'd mention this before we close. The first thing was that, you know, my hands dried up from the cold in Iceland. So my fingerprints must have changed or something, because I found that the Touch ID stopped working within just a few days of getting to Iceland. I rescanned my fingers and it worked again for a few scans, but then stopped working again. I found myself tapping in my security code for 99% of the time. And even now that I'm home, because it would take my hands a few weeks to get back to normal, I still can't use my fingerprints for the Touch ID. It worked fine for the few days before I went to Iceland, so I know it's the cold and my skin having dried up that's causing the issue. But I did think it would be better than this. I didn't think the issue would be quite this bad. I also am not a huge fan, just yet, of the on-off switch on the right side of the phone. At first, it feels ergonomically better to have the switch on the side, especially now with the bigger phone, meaning that you'd have to change your grip to push a button on the top of the phone as before. But I often hit the on-off switch after I've put the phone down on a surface, and I constantly find myself pressing the volume buttons on the other side, the left side of the phone, as I grip it to turn the screen off. This isn't a big issue, and I'm sure I'll get used to it, but I can't help wondering if this could have been designed just a little bit better. This is absolutely all that I can think of, though, that isn't totally perfect. Everything else just works. I can't say that I've noticed any real speed increase with the 64-bit iOS and faster processor and all of that. But then again, I was never unhappy with my iPhone 5. I don't play a lot of games, except for collecting cars in CSR Racing, and although that looks beautiful on the larger screen, I probably just don't have a good baseline for comparison of speedy graphics, etc. Anyway, that's really all I have time to do this week with the video edition, etc. I have to get back to other things following my tour and start to finalise my selection of images so that we can talk about those from next week. In general, I'm very impressed with the iPhone 6, and I'm very happy with the large screen. Yes, it's much bulkier than my old phone, but the look on people's faces as they view my photos on that screen is priceless, and the user experience is much better in my opinion. There are lots of things that have been added, like horizontal views for mail and calendar apps, etc., but I'm sure other people will do a great job of talking about this stuff in time, and there's plenty of other information about that and all of the other shiny new features on the Apple website as well. So I'll just keep this to my photography-related experiences. Before we finish, I did want to mention once again that we'll be getting into my Iceland travelogue episodes from next week, and so please do stay tuned for that. Also note that we have now set the dates for the 2015 Iceland Tour and Workshop, so do check that out if you're interested in joining us. If you're not on the website, you can get there directly with the link mbp.ac/Iceland2015. It really is an amazing tour that you will absolutely love. So thanks very much for listening today. If you enjoy this podcast, do take a moment to tell your friends. And if you don't already, please subscribe in iTunes or your favorite podcast app to ensure an uninterrupted delivery. You can find me on Google+ and Twitter, Facebook, etc. And links to everything that I'm up to are at the top page at martinbaileyphotography.com. So do drop by and take a look. I'll be back next week with another episode. But in the meantime, you take care and have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.